As we've watched governments in North Africa and the Middle East scramble to portray rebellious citizens as terrorists rather than freedom fighters, a trial in London reminds us that historically that tactic has worked. The trial involves a lawsuit brought by Kenyans who said they were tortured by the British during the Mau Mau uprising in the 50s and 60s. You remember the Mau Mau. The very phrase became connected with violent, savage revolution. In Mike Huckabee's incredibly inaccurate portrayal of Barack Obama's childhood, he tried to connect the president to the Mau Mau.
His perspective as growing up in Kenya with a Kenyan father and grandfather, their view of the Mau Mau revolution in Kenya is very different than ours because he probably grew up hearing that the British were a bunch of imperialists who persecuted his grandfather.
Of course, Obama did not grow up in Kenya. And while the Mau Mau were often violent, historical evidence now shows that the Imperial British didn't just persecute the Mau Mau, who were chafing under colonial rule. They tortured them and other Kenyans as well. Now, four Kenyans are suing the current government, asking for an apology. A key witness in that trial is Harvard historian Caroline Elkins, author of the Pulitzer Prize-winning book Imperial Reckoning, The Untold Story of Britain's Gulag in Kenya. We spoke to her when the book came out in 2005 and caused an uproar in Britain. She's just back from London, where she was an expert witness in this new trial and where she got to read some newly discovered documents from colonial Kenya that back the claims she made in her book. And Caroline Elkins joins us in the studio. Welcome back.
Thank you so much, Robin.
And let's give some context. Remind us, when we say Mau Mau, for people of a certain generation, something happens when you say Mau Mau. What is that?
It conjures the most bestial, savage, horrible, awful thing, a specter of black savagery unparalleled.
Well, but then the Mau Mau were radical. They broke from Jomo Kenyatta's nonviolent Kenyan African Union, which had been pressing for rights and land reform. The Mau Mau was an armed rebellion.
Oh, absolutely. It was. There's no question. And the Mau Mau did perpetrate some terrible crimes and certainly used bloody methods to gain what it was that they wanted in Kenya. But the fact of the matter is there was a great deal of demonization that went on the part of the British government. And I think one of the things I came to admire most, if you will, about the British was their propaganda machine and the ways in which they could portray Mau Mau as being this most savage, awful, atavistic thing.
Because in so doing, they threw any spotlight off themselves. What did you discover in interviewing now elderly Kenyans, but also in documents that you uncovered from British colonial rule? What were the British doing to the Mau Mau?
Well, it's an important question, Robin, because after about a decade of research, what I came to find is that, in fact, any abuses that the British might have perpetrated against the Mau Mau in a labyrinth of detention camps they set up, over 100 in all, immediately after World War II, immediately after Nazi Germany.
Rounding up people who were sworn to the Mau Mau, but also Kenyans who were just, you know, civilians.
Absolutely. And it was, they detained nearly the entire Kikuyu population of 5 million people. And in these detention camps, they created a system of violence, torture, murder. And then they went to extraordinary lengths at the time of decolonization to cover all of this up.
Okay, this is going to be difficult to hear, and so I warn people. But what, I mean, just be specific, if you will. We've got about a minute before the break, but how violent was it? I mean, you write in your book about bottles, gun barrels, snakes, vermin thrust into people's body parts.
In your wildest imaginations, Robin, one cannot conjure the kinds of torturous methods that were deployed by the British. As you point out, the use of broken bottles, vermin, snakes in men's rectums and women's vaginas, the burning of people alive, the use of cigarettes, the kind of torture knew no boundaries.
Historian and Harvard professor Caroline Elkins, who's a key witness in a new trial that's just started in London for elderly Kenyans in a lawsuit against the British government because of the way the colonial British government treated Kenyans and members of the Mau Mau between 1951 and 61, I believe, are the dates. Caroline won a Pulitzer Prize for her book Imperial Reckoning, The Untold Story of Britain's Gulag in Kenya. It came out in 2005. She won the Pulitzer in 2006. And Caroline, first of all, I remember the uproar in Britain when your book first came out. What did the British government say about the charges you made of torture by the British government against Kenyans during that time?
There was a resounding dismissal of it. the same kind of party line that was used at the time during Mau Mau, that some one-off things happened, but that by and large that this system was one of benign reform where detainees were rehabilitated.
And what is the British government saying now to charges from four Kenyans that they were tortured during this time?
Well, it's an interesting question because in the 11th and a half hour before trial, the British finally released approximately 300 boxes of files, 17,000 files in total, all of which support the claims and evidence in my book. And so now they are no longer contesting fact. What they're contesting is colonial responsibility. In other words, they're suggesting that responsibility passed to the independent government of Kenya at decolonization.
Well, I want to ask you about that because this was a Kenyan government that also seemed eager to cover up the past. But so they're not denying that the torture happened. They're releasing papers that seem to show that, in fact, there were Brits during this time who spoke out against what they saw as torture of the Mau Mau and the civilians. They're simply saying that we can't be responsible for what the colonial government did.
Absolutely. What they're suggesting is that no longer, again, are they contesting that this happened. What they are contesting is that they are legally responsible. And that what they're suggesting is that responsibility at the time of decolonization passed to the independent government of Kenya. So therefore, the current Kenyans who are in the High Court of London should be speaking to the Kenyan government, not the British government.
Well, and what about that, the fact that the Kenyan government that took over, were they as complicit?
Well, in some ways, Robin, you know, at the time of decolonization, Jomo Kenyatta became the first president. And he was demonized as being the leader to darkness and death at the time of Mau Mau. But in fact, Kenyatta was as conservative as many of the British. And
the Mau Mau split from him.
Mau Mau split from him, and Kenyatta was not actually a revolutionary. What he wanted was access to the kinds of colonial privileges that had unfolded during the period of British rule.
Go ahead, finish.
Yeah, no, and I was just going to suggest, and at the time of decolonization, he successfully took over these levers of power and instituted the same kind of authoritarian regime that the British had.
What are the four Kenyans who have come forward? They're very elderly. What are they saying in their lawsuit?
Yeah, it's amazing, Robin. I was with them just a short time ago in London, and they are now quite elderly, and they are alleging castration, two of them, being manacled and beaten unconscious, a woman who was severely sexually abused. I mean, they are horrific stories and not unlike the several hundred that I collected during the time of my research for my book.
And what are people in Britain saying? We know, for instance, there's one who's widely quoted in the Guardian who's saying, look, I worked in the country at that time. Yeah, the British government might have done bad things. He was a tracker, I think, to look for Mau Mau. He said, but the Mau Mau also were violent, which we mentioned earlier, that they also were violent. So he's come forward and said that if the British government has to apologize, the Mau Mau do too. What is the conversation in Britain?
Well, I think the conversation is one of shock. It's one of continued denial in certain realms. And I think it's one whereby the British are taking a very long step back and trying to assess what empire has meant and what it continues to mean.
And what are some of the arguments?
Well, I think some of the arguments are, and certainly coming from the right wing and even right of center, is that, listen, the British did a lot of great things out there. We built infrastructure and roads and left behind democratic institutions, and that there's a bit of the ends justifies the means. And if we used a few brutal tactics, well, it's because those horrible Mau Mau made us do it. And I think what we're seeing emerging more and more from the left and even from the center is a serious critique about what empire means and the kinds of responsibility that Britain needs to take, regardless of whether or not legally they have to take it.
Well, I'm wondering, too, you spent years in Kenya. You lived, you know, behind a rape gate, you know, become very violent in Nairobi, and you spent years talking to people unearthing this. And here, it's interesting, here today in Boston, Kenya's very much on our mind because, once again, two Kenyans, you know, a woman and a man, Jeffrey Mutai and Caroline Killell have won the Boston Marathon. So we're thinking Kenya here. But I'm wondering, do you know what the response is in Kenya to this trial, especially since, as you were saying, there were some Kenyans that sided with the British government?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think like all things, Robin, it's terribly complicated. There's no sort of classic good versus evil here. And in Kenya, we also see a situation where there are many who actually fought on the side of Britain during the time of Mau Mau, who are still in high positions of power in their families. We see many ethnic groups who did not participate in Mau Mau at all. So the question becomes, where does that leave them on their claims to the state if Mau Mau was Kikuyu-only movement? movement and has the right to independence and to the fruits of freedom.
Well, I guess the question, too, is how does this resonate further? We just have about a minute and a half here, but we're watching in Bahrain a brutal state security apparatus that seems to have crushed a democratic opposition there. And we can look back in history and now wonder, gee, I wonder, you know, if something was painted as an uprising, maybe it was, you know, a nationalist movement. What are the four Kenyans suing for, and what does that mean going forward for other colonial powers?
It's an important question, Robin, and I think two things. First, the Kenyans who are suing are, if anything, looking for an apology, number one. Number two, I think this as we step back, this serves as a cautionary tale for us. It serves as a cautionary tale about what's unfolding in the rest of the world today. It serves as a cautionary tale about the ways in which critics can try to undermine the findings of a book, in this case, Imperial Reckoning. And quite frankly, had it not been for the discovery of these 300 boxes of files, one has to imagine that their critique would have continued rather than the current reassessment that's going on today.
That's Caroline Elkins, professor of history at Harvard, the author of the Pulitzer Prize-winning book Imperial Reckoning, The Untold Story of Britain's Gulag in Kenya. She was criticized for using that word, gulag, and now these papers seem to show that, in fact, she was on the right track. She is key witness in a trial in which four Kenyans are suing the current British government over what the colonial government did to Kenyans in the Mau Mau in the 50s. We'll continue to follow this story. But meanwhile, Caroline, now Professor Elkins, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me, Robin.